talk about, you know, the time that I was sitting in the line at the Golden Arches, and there was a truck behind me, and it was just pounding with that music, "Rock Me Mama Like a Wagon Wheel." I got that in my head, and it was there all day. It was driving me crazy. All day long, all I could hear was "Rock Me Mama Like a Wagon." I thought, you know, I couldn't stand it anymore. I finally just, you know what? I thought, I'm going to sing it like this. "Rock me, Jesus, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, Jesus, any way you feel. Oh, Jesus." Put that, I'll give that to the devil. Best day ever. St. John chapter 9, if you have your Bibles. I just want to read something familiar to us, but yet God began to speak something really unusual to me again. And I just want to share this with you this morning, if I can, for just a little bit. It says, "And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, the man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered and said, 'Neither this man or his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made a clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?' And some said, 'This is he.' And others said, 'Well, he's like him.' But he said, 'I am he.' And they said unto him, 'How is it that your eyes are open?' And he answered and said, 'A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight.'" Let's pray real quick. Father, we just thank you, God, for your wonderful word. Every time we hear it, every time we open it up, every time we speak it, Lord, every time we read it, God, it just does something to us, Lord. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, it gives us faith. It comes by hearing your word. And Father, this morning, we just believe today that you're going to take this word. Lord, you're going to be able to speak something to us, Lord, that we need to hear this morning. We're going to claim it together, Lord. Give us that relevant revelation of your word. We'll speak it even now in Jesus' name. I noticed something in the previous chapter. It ended with Jesus passing by those who wanted to stone him. Look what it says. "And going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Well, this portion of scripture here in chapter 9 starts off, "And as Jesus passed by." I started thinking about that, church. You know, this is a great way for, you know, to get God to pass you by, is with an attitude like they had, that they wanted to stone him. In other words, they were trying to do away with the word. They were trying to do away with healing, with miracles, with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have churches like that today that want to do away with a lot of, you know, the word of God. They don't want to talk about hell. They don't want to talk about the devil. There's a lot of churches today and a lot of religions and denominations who have done away with hell. Don't even believe there is a hell, even though Jesus talked specifically about it. Talked about the rich man and Lazarus and made it very clear to us that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Well, we begin to read this, church, and I begin to see this, and, you know, and I see how they are attacking him. At the same time, as he's passing by them, he saw a man blind from birth. You know, and that just shows you the wonderful attitude and the wonderful grace of God. You know, he could have taken it out on all of them. Oh, I'm just going to, you know, since you're going to treat me that way, I'm just going to leave town. I don't want anything to do with any of you. But as he's passing by them, he sees a man that is born blind. A disciple said, "Who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it the man or his parents?" And I started thinking about that. How could the man's sin be responsible for blindness from birth? What do the disciples say here? How could he have sinned if he's been blind from the moment he was born? Well, the Jews, some of the Jews believed in reincarnation. They believed that a person could sin in a previous life and it carry over to the next life. Some of the Jews believed that a baby could sin in the womb. I don't know if they got that from kicking the mother in the belly. Honor your father and mother. Some believe that the punishment for sin was for a sin that he hadn't even committed yet. Well, just think about that. So they're looking at this, and Jesus says, neither this man or his parents sinned, but that the works of God would be revealed in him. You know, how many times have we talked about this, that the works of God be revealed in us? We were talking today at men's breakfast, and Matt was giving us a wonderful, you know, example of, you know, God being glorified through our lives. And this is what God has been speaking here, church. I believe that God has been wanting to work in the lives of his people. Sean, you showed us again today, you know, just what God is able to do with our lives. If we just come to Jesus and accept him as our Savior and give him the opportunity to do what he wants to do with our life. Well, this is not saying that there's no consequence to sin, but this was telling us here that that wasn't the reason for his blindness. Then Jesus goes into his need to work the works of God while he had the opportunity. I believe, church, that this is something that he's trying to get across to the church today, is that we need to allow God to work in our lives while we have the opportunity. I believe that Jesus is coming soon, don't you? And I believe that the Lord is trying to work in the lives of his people so that you and I might be able to go church forward and glorify him. Let our life be an example of him. Let people be able to see him in us. And I see this, church, as Jesus goes and he begins to work that work that he's talking about. He's working a work that only he can work. He goes and the Bible said he spits on the ground. Now, he did this two other times in the Bible. Mark chapter 7, verse 33, he does this to a man that was deaf and couldn't hear. He goes and spits on his fingers and sticks his fingers in the man's ears, and immediately the man is healed. He goes in Mark chapter 8, let me go back to Mark chapter 8 for a second here. And it says, the Bible said he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him and besought him to touch him. Notice that they bring a blind man to him. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Now, we've talked about this before. You know, there comes a time in our life that flesh can only take you so far. Somebody listening to me. You turn your life over to him, then all of a sudden you put your life in his hands, and he's able to do a whole lot more with it. Takes the man out of town, and when he spit on his eyes, put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw. And he said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands on his up again to put his eyes and told him to look, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Well, just think about that. Jesus prays for him twice. So this is demonstrating to you and I, church, that a lot of times we don't receive what we need from God the first time we pray. Amen. Somebody listen to me. Anybody's ever seen that? I know we go into prayer thinking this is going to be it. God's going to answer just like that. But how many times have you had to pray more than once? Or twice? Or three times? Or a year? Oh, God's trying to get us to the point, church, that we're persistent with him. Bible said he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Well, he goes, church, and then he puts this mud on this man's eyes and tells him to go to the pool of Siloam and to wash. You know, we have to be open to however God wants to move. This is why Jesus didn't do things the same way every time. He wants you and I to be flexible. Can we get to that point, church, that however God wants to do it, God can do it? Come on, somebody. Because a lot of times we think, you know, we have a preconceived idea exactly how God's going to bless us or how God's going to change us. We wake up in the morning, and I believe a lot of times, church, we hinder the work of the Lord by having an idea how our day's going to go. Somebody listen to me. You wake up on a Monday, Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday? Some people have already turned it over to him. But you wake up with a preconceived idea that it's going to be a difficult day. Here we go again. I've got another long week ahead of me. God doesn't want that. God's wanting us to come to the point, church, that we're able to come to that place in him that, God, I believe that however you want to do things, that you're going to do things. However you want to bless me, however you want to heal me, I believe that you can take Monday and turn my whole day and my whole week into the best time I've ever had. Anybody listening to me? This man goes, he church, and he goes, and he. And what's amazing here, I believe, is that Jesus never told the man that he would be healed. You notice this? He puts mud on his eyes and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He doesn't say, and you'll be healed. I believe that he placed the mud on the eyes, you know, to kind of like an incentive. Maybe without the mud, the man wouldn't have gone to wash. Or maybe he would have, you know, taken his time. But if somebody goes and takes some goo and applies mud to your eyes, I believe it's going to cause you to, you know, go and do what he tells you to do. And I'm thinking about this. He doesn't tell him, but he's insinuating. I believe that Jesus is insinuating, you go and you do that, you're going to be healed. How many has ever got to the point that sometimes you get to a feeling like God is about to do something big in your life? Anybody ever been there? Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. Well, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus did reveal something. He said this in Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind. Somebody listen to me. The pool of Siloam is where they got the water to pour out to God at the Feast of the Tabernacle. We were talking about this not long ago. We were talking about how the rabbis also considered this a symbol of the Holy Spirit being poured out. So we're looking at this church, and Jesus puts the mud on it and says, go wash. What I like about this church, I was reading this the other day, and I began to notice something. I discovered something in verse 11 when he begins to testify what had happened to him. He said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He said, I went and washed, and I received sight. Well, the word received here is actually the word recovered. It should, in the original, it should have been the word recovered. I went and I did, I washed and I recovered my sight. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about that. I started thinking about how do you recover something that you never had? Anybody listening to me? Because he's born blind. This is not like somebody who was born with sight and then lost his sight and then recovered. This is something here. So why was it the word recovered? How do you recover something you never had? Well, I went and I started praying and I started looking into some commentaries. And one commentary said, sight being a natural to man, to be deprived of it is regarded as loss. And the reception of it, though never enjoyed before, as recovered. Well, God began to speak to me. And God began to speak something really unusual to me. And God began to speak that many suffer today over something that they never had. Anybody listening to me? There are people today who are suffering over something that they never had. I've dealt many times with people who have suffered all their life due to a relationship that they never had. I've talked with young people who have suffered because of a relationship that they never had with their mom or their dad. I've talked with parents who had found themselves in a place that they were suffering because of the lack of a relationship that they were having with their children. I think about church, the times that I've counseled with those that were in a marriage and it was not the kind of marriage that they wanted, hadn't received that relationship. It wasn't the marriage that they, you know. They've gone and I've seen people suffering over a job that they never got or a house that they never had. I was talking here not long ago about, you know, my wife and I believe in God for more space since we have all our grandchildren a lot. And we're believing God for more space. And I was looking in a house, and as soon as I started praying about that house, I said, God, if this is not for me, you sell it. And it sold just like that. And it was something that you know, that even though I wanted God's will and I knew it wasn't God for me to have that, I liked that house, and I felt like, you know, something was missing because I didn't get that house. Suffering because of something I never had. Somebody listen to me. I've seen people that way with, you know, opportunities that suffer their life because of opportunities that they never received. I've seen churches that were in a place that they were suffering and they were grieving because they've never experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that they wanted to see. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Suffering over something that they never had. Something you believe maybe you should have had by now. Nobody's ever been in that place. Oh, Pastor, there's something I've been believing for, and I know it's mine. I believe that God put that in my heart. God spoke it in His Word. It's something that I've been believing for, but I haven't received it yet. I should have received it by now. And I've seen people in a position where they were suffering because, you know, they believed that this was something for them, but they hadn't received it yet. Doesn't help when there's disciples there that come by and don't understand why you haven't recovered yet. Anybody ever have come across people like that? Oh, I don't understand why your church isn't growing yet. Or, I don't understand why you're not blessed yet. I don't understand why you're going through some of the things that you're still going through. You know what it is, church? We have faith when we come to God that if we seek Him first, all these things will be added unto us. Isn't that what the Word says? This is what creates that belief, and it creates that expectation within us. When you begin to get into the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to speak to you, the Word of God, church, will begin to produce something in your spirit that you will begin to believe for. And even, I was thinking about this, even the second paragraph of the Constitution of the United States declares that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those that are life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness. Unalienable rights. Well, we know as born-again believers, church, that God says in His Word that He wants us to prosper and to be in health, even as our soul prospers. God wants us to understand through this portion of Scripture here, church, that thing that you never had, that maybe you should have had by now, that if we will continue to believe, God's still going to bring that thing to pass. See, this is the thing this morning, church. I believe that God is trying to show us something here, that even in this word here, that this man who was born blind, who had never had something, yet God was able to bring that to pass. He's able to recover. He's able to end up with something that he never had before. I believe that this is something that God's trying to show us this morning, church. Oh, I believe we've seen many great things, and God do many great things. But I am believing for things, church, that I've never seen God do before. Is this okay? I'm believing this morning for things that I've never had before. That faith comes, church, from reading the Word of God. God begins to impress these things upon me, that He's able to give me exceeding and abundantly above that which I ask or think. Able to give me things, church, that I've never had before. Anybody got that kind of faith this morning? How many realize, though, that there's always the enemy that tries to deny you your rights as a child of God? You know, even in this country right now, there are forces today that would seek to hinder our God-given rights. Somebody listen to me. I said, I look at the extremes that the Lord's enemies went through to try to discredit the power of God even after the man recovered. Even after he had received, even after he had recovered his sight, even after he received his sight, the enemies of the Lord come against this and try to come against what God has done. Listen to what they do here. In verse 15, the Pharisees also ask him how he had received his sight. They ask him again. And he said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed in due season. He's got to go over this again. I'll tell you again. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. One of the Sabbath, you know, the traditions of the Sabbath. Those man-made traditions, you know, that the elders added to the Word of God. One of those, they came up with a bunch of crazy different things that man added to it. Well, one of them was the law of plowing. So he wasn't allowed to dip his finger in the mud. That would break the law. Have you ever heard anything like this in your life? He's breaking he's not keeping the Sabbath day. How can a man that is a sinner do miracles and there was division among them? This is the enemy's, you know, desire. We've been talking about this in men's breakfast today, how the enemy comes in and tries to create division. Tries to come in and maybe I can get half the church not to believe the way that the rest is believing. I can keep the whole church from receiving everything that God has for them. Well, they said to the blind man, what sayest thou of him that he opened your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. They're not even going to believe that he was actually blind to begin with. They're just coming against the demonstration of the power of God. They're doing everything that they can to discredit what God had done. So he said, we're not going to believe this till we call his parents. So they call his parents, and the parents come down, and they said, tell us, was your son born blind? And they said, yeah, he was born blind. And they said, well, what happened? And they said, well, we don't know. And the parents were under pressure at that moment because they realized that if they went too far, they would cast them out, excommunicate them from the tabernacle. They said, he's of age, ask him. So they continue to ask him, and he continues to tell them. He said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And the Bible said, finally, they go and they cast him out. They kick him out. You know, Satan does the same thing to you and I, church. He tries to convince us that God is not the same. He tries to convince us that God doesn't heal, or that God won't provide, or that God doesn't hear or your prayers, or that God won't answer. He loves to come against this church and maybe try to accuse us and say, you don't deserve it. Well, you know what, church? Grace says we don't, but grace says it's mine anyways through faith in God, in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, church, I read this and I believe that God still has a plan. I believe that God still has a plan to give us what we never had before. Amen. Come on, somebody help me. I'm standing here this morning, church, and there are things that I am looking to and I'm believing God for. I've seen God do this before. I've seen God give me things that I never had before. Anybody listening to me? Seen how God would come in and provide $10,000 when I needed it. Just like that. I never had $10,000 given to me like that before. But I was believing God to take care of a need that I had. And the next thing I knew, God moved on a man who never met me, came and gave me $10,000 to meet my need. I never received that before, but I believed that God could. Come on, somebody, help me here. I'm believing, church, for some things right now that I've never seen God do before. Come on. And I've seen God do some great things. I've seen God do some great things since I've come here. Is this okay with anybody? Oh, I've seen God move in miraculous ways. I've seen God come and bless me. When I came here, church, I came here and I was in debt. But I came here, church, and there was just a handful of people or so. When I first came here, and God began to move, God began to bless this church, God began to bless the church, began to bless me, and got me out of the debt. Yes. Amen. Oh, my goodness. I believe in church that God has got even more for me. There's things right now, church, because I know what the Lord is able to do. I read the word. I got a whole idea here, church. Even when I read this portion of scripture, here's somebody, church, who had never experienced this until Jesus comes by. How many realize that that's the key to it all? Is that when Jesus comes by? The Bible tells us that Jesus, that they were in the disciples were in the boat and they were in a storm. And all of a sudden, as they were struggling to survive the storm, they see Jesus. And the Bible says, as they saw him, they begin to cry out, and he would have passed them by. Bible said that he would have passed them by, but they started crying out to him. Do we understand this, church? See, here's what it is for you and I. When we get to that point that we realize what God is able to do, when we come to that place that we understand, church, what God is able, and we got to understand that he has a plan even right now, that there are things that maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're believing God for, maybe things that you've never had before. Maybe you come in here today and you were suffering and you were struggling. Pastor, I come into this place today and I'm struggling and I've been suffering because that I'm believing for peace that I've never had before. I'm suffering because of joy that I've never had before. Do we understand, church, that this is the key right here, that Jesus is the answer, that he's able to give you the peace that you've never had before. He's the one that's able to give you the joy that you've, he's the one that's able to give you vision that you never had before. How that you can come in here and you can begin to hear the word of God and you can walk out of here and suddenly you have vision. I got new, fresh vision about what God is able to do. Even though I come in here and I was struggling and I've been suffering with things, something that Pastor, I've never had. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're one of those that I was talking about. You're suffering because of a relationship you never had. How many believe this morning it's not too late for God? Oh, come on, somebody help me. Maybe you're sitting here suffering because of a relationship that you never had with your family. But God, it's never too late for God. He's saying right now, church, he's trying to instill this in you that he's able to come into your life and move in your life in such a way that you can recover something that you never had before. You can end up having that relationship. You might be sitting here this morning, and maybe you haven't had the marriage that you always wanted. God's able to fix that. God's able to change that. God's able to bring the right person into your life. Is this okay with anybody? And finally give you. I've seen God do it. I know of a person that had gone and been married a couple different times until finally they never gave up on God. Until finally God brought the person that he had for them all along into their life. Anybody listening to me? See, we got to get to that point, church, that no matter what it looks like right now, even though I've never had it, I've never experienced, I still believe that God is able. Amen. Come on. See, God, many times, church, we will go through things to the point that we come to a place in our life that we begin to allow the enemy to work on us to such a degree that we wonder if it's ever going to happen. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I don't know if I'm ever going to have that. I don't know if I'm ever going to reach that place in my life, Pastor, where I'm going to be completely free of all those things. But the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Church, there is a freedom and a liberty. The Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It is the anointing that will break your yoke. So God's trying to tell you, church, that no matter, you may be dealing with things that you wonder if you're ever going to be free from. I believe that before this service is over, that God can set you free from those things. You may look at it this morning and be sitting there and say, Pastor, I don't know. It feels like I'm never going to get out of debt. God's trying to reassure you with this word this morning that he's able. I believe that he's got a plan, a financial plan. Is that okay? How many know God's got a financial plan? That if you give, he gives back. Pour out a blessing, you don't have room enough to receive it. That means more than enough. Isn't that right, Sean? You don't have room enough to receive it, so he's going to give you more than enough. I believe, church, he's got a plan right now. God still has a plan to give us what we never had. And why would he do that, Pastor? Well, he makes it real plain. We talked about this in men's breakfast. Why would God have a plan to bring things into my life that I never had or maybe that I feel I should have had by now? Because, church, when God begins to operate like that in somebody's life, people begin to notice it. It will bring him glory. Jesus made it real clear. Jesus made it real clear. I'm going to bring somebody. This man is going to recover something that he never had, something that he was not born with, but he's going to recover that. Why? Because it's going to bring glory to the Father. Do we understand, church, this morning that the work that God wants to do, that he's still planning on doing, those things that you've never seen, that you've never had, that you've not even heard of, maybe things the Bible said hasn't even entered your mind, God has those in store for those that loved him and are called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? His purpose was for you and I, church, to reveal him, to glorify him, that we might go forward, church, and people see God doing those things that they'd never seen before in your life, and they know that it's God. And what happens here, church, they go and they try to do everything that they can to discredit and to disclaim what God has done. You know, the devil works like that. He would love to try to work on you before you get out of here. He'd like to come and hinder my word this morning. He'd like to keep me from getting it out and like to keep you from hearing it. If he could get you to get your mind on something else and so that you wouldn't get this word within you this morning and you walk out of here and you start looking and believing that you're going to receive something that you never had before. Come on, anybody got that kind of faith this morning? Because that's what it's going to require. It's going to require faith. It's going to require obedience. Somebody may have to walk out of here and go wash. This is what it's going to take. He didn't even promise him that he would. But I got a feeling that this. He placed this on me. Maybe he had heard the word that he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Recovering of sight. Recovering. That word, recover. It's what Jesus said. Recovering of sight to the blind, something you never had before. Somebody's ready to recover some things. How many would like to recover some things you have had? You've lost it. Come on, somebody. But you believe God's able to give you that back. What happens, church? They go and they cast the man out. And what happened? When Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he found him, that means he was looking for him. When Jesus heard that he was cast out, he went looking for him. You don't find something you're not looking for. Jesus went looking for him, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said, "Thou hast seen him, and it's he that talks with you right now." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Everybody listening to this. See, church, God doesn't just want to save you. He doesn't just want to heal you. He doesn't just want to deliver you. He just doesn't want to bless you. He just doesn't want you to recover. He wants you to know him. Because I believe, church, 2 Peter 1:3, we read this here a couple weeks ago, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him. Through knowledge of him. See, this is how we come to that place, church, that we can believe. This is how we come to that point that we realize that he does have these things for us. I begin to know him by getting into my word, by coming into a place where I can actually hear this. Coming into a church that's going to tell me the truth. You know, I come in here and let me realize that God still does work miracles. Anybody listening to me? That God does still heal the sick. That God does still set the captives free. Come on, somebody. A lot of people don't even want to talk about that. They won't even want you to. There are churches today that don't even want to mention the devil. They don't even want to mention addiction. They don't even want to mention bondage. Why? Why is that? Because they don't have the power to set you free. Church, when you're not believing and when you're not seeking God and when you're not allowing the Holy Spirit, I believe, church, that there are those that suffer because of the lack of the Holy Spirit in their life. Amen. Come on, somebody, help me. I've seen people suffering because they didn't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I've seen them miserable because they weren't full of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody, help me. It ought to drive you. But listen to me. When you realize, church, the power of the Holy Ghost, it ought to be something that drives you. Lord, you go, fill me. Fill me. Fill me full of your Spirit. Fill me full of your miracle-working power. Lord, I don't want just the fruit. I want the gifts of the Spirit operating in my life. Anybody listening to me? Maybe gifts, church, that have never operated in your life before, but you know, according to the Word of, I come to a point that I know Him, that He has already told me, church, that He has, according as His divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of Him. I know it now, that there's power in the name of Jesus. I know, church, that there's gifts and there's fruit in the Holy Spirit. It ought to cause somebody to want that and to believe for that and to be expecting that. Hallelujah. We come in here on a Sunday morning, church, and I'm trying to, first of all, get you saved. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. That's where we got to start. Jesus goes after him. I want you to know who it is so that you don't go and you just tell him, well, I'm a man named Jesus, but that you're able to go out of here and you got even more knowledge now. Let me tell you about Jesus. He is my Jesus. Come on, somebody help me. Oh, my granddad. See, he was a wonderful example to me. I'm trying to be that kind of a granddad to my grandchildren. This is why that I come in here a lot of times, and as soon as they see me, they start crying because they want me. I'm trying to be a good example to them. They love Grandpa. I've tried to be that kind of example that my granddad was. And my granddad had joy. Like I have never seen. And it was joy of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that that's not just a fruit, but that's a gift. And he had that wonderful gift of joy. That no matter what everybody else was dealing with, no matter what everybody else was going through, he had that wonderful gift. And he always talked about God as my God. He always talked about my Jesus. We get into a point where maybe the family got together, and you know how families do when they get together sometimes. A lot of times they don't always agree. Just my family? Some of you sitting there. I don't know what he's talking about. You had a fight with a wife in the car before you got here. I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, you're sitting there probably thinking, yeah, you know, I know what he's talking about. Yeah, he's talking about that kind of marriage that I never had. It's not too late. I believe that if you came here fighting in the car, you could leave home rejoicing. Come on, somebody help me. I believe you can recover. Anybody got faith this morning? Because you might be sick maybe right now, and God's trying to tell you, hold on, you can recover. There's a way. His name is Jesus. Oh, you might be dealing with some emotional things right now, but God's trying to tell you, you can recover. I'm going to give you peace that you never had before. He didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Church, he's doing this for a purpose, for a reason, so that when you come forward and you all of a sudden you end up, have we been talking about this being the most productive year we've ever had? Do you know what that means? That means I end up with things that I didn't have before. If this is going to be the most productive year I've ever had, that means I'm going to end up this year with things that I've never had before. Come on, somebody help me. Because it's more productive than it was last year. I'm going to end up with more things this year than things that I've never had before. So just think about what you're saying when you're praying that. Lord, let this be the most, but you're going to end up with things that you never had before. Amen. Come on, somebody help me. And it's coming from God. Amen. God's got a purpose, church, and a plan. Jesus said that this was part of the plan. Now, I don't believe that he made this man blind from the time that he was born just so he could, but I believe, church, that he's going to take this and use this. Somebody agree with me? See, that's not God's plan for you to go and end up in a lot of times in the condition you're in. A lot of times, it's just self-inflicted wounds. The devil's come and lied to you, and we've believed it. We swallowed a hook, line, and sinker, and we ended up with consequences. But I believe, church, that God can turn that thing around and make that thing a testimony. I heard it this morning when you said that you were an alcoholic, but you weren't an alcoholic anymore. Did anybody else catch that? Because the world will tell you that you always will be. You got to confess that in a lot of places. Oh, I remember when in my last church, when they called me and asked me to come down to their local AAs because they wondered what was going on in my church. They called me down there and they asked, and I sat down there with those men, and they said, "Why is it that you're having more success at your church seeing people get off alcohol and drugs than we are?" I said, "It's real simple. It's Jesus." Sometimes I think it's just too simple to comprehend. And then there's those that were like these men here that don't want that to be the answer. Because if that's the answer, then it puts them out of business. Well, where do I fit in? Give them Jesus. Let Jesus begin to work in your life like that, and then maybe you can be an example to somebody else. Oh, come on, somebody. This is what it's all about, church. God's trying to, he's got a purpose. He's got a plan. I love a church. He's able to give me peace that I've never had before, joy that I never had before, blessings that I never had before, favor that I never had before. I love the story of Joshua. He goes and there's a group of people that come from next door. But they come to him and to Israel and they say, "We've come from a long way. We want to be part of what you're doing here. We want to come into covenant with you." And so he doesn't realize they were the next place that they were supposed to conquer. They told him that they come from a long ways off, but they knew that they were coming. And they want to come and surrender and be part of that. So all of a sudden, he says, "Okay, we'll take you in. You can be, we'll make a covenant with you. We'll make a deal with you. You can come and and then they find out, "Why did you do that?" "Because we knew what your God was able to do." Amen. And they go, church, and all of a sudden, they find themselves in a jam. But they realize that they have just come into covenant with Joshua and Israel. In the God of Israel. So they send word to Joshua, "Because we come into agreement with you, these other nations are mad at us and they're coming against us. Come help us." Isn't it a wonderful thing, church, when you come to that place that you've come into agreement with God? God, there's the enemy doesn't like it because I come and I've accepted Christ as my Savior and he's coming against me, but I got something that's greater. It's he that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on, somebody. I can go to him and I can say, God, you see that they're coming against me because I come and I come in agreement with you. You start agreeing with God, church. You start believing the things that God has for you. The devil's not going to like it. He's going to come against you. But God is there for you. Amen. And do you know what ends up having? Joshua ends up coming to their rescue. And he ends up having a day like nobody else has ever had. He comes and he's defeating the enemy. But the sun starts to go down. And he's losing his light. So what does he say? Sun and moon, stand still. Well, we find out, church, that it's really the earth that's moving. The day that the earth stood still. It's in the Bible. It's not just some hokey movie they made. It's in the day the earth stood still. And the Bible says that there was never a day before or after that God answered a man like he did that day. I don't know about anybody else, but that takes faith. God, you're going to give me today what I need right now, what I've never had before. Come on, somebody. Bow your heads with me real quick.